Parshat Vayetze. Laban Arami tricked Yaakov Avinu, his worker, over and over and over again. How many times did he trick him? How many times did he cheat his worker? But how much is this in contrast, the way that Laban treated Yaakov Avinu, had so much in contrast to the way that the Torah obligates us to deal with our employees. There's a whole chapter in the Shulchan Aruch about labor relations. We must pay our workers on time. There's a tshuva in the Rav Paalim, that's the Ben Ish Chai, about an employer who had in his pocket all the money that he needed to pay his workers for their day's work. Just before he was about to go out and pay them, a widow came to his door, the mother of 10 children. She had no money to buy an evening meal to feed her children, to feed her orphans. The boss now had a question. The banks were closed, but he had in his pocket enough money to pay his workers, and he could have also given that sum of money now to the widow. And then tomorrow morning, he can go and draw out more money from the bank and pay his workers. So he'll pay them a little bit later than normal. Instead of paying them at night when they've just finished working, he'll be paying them the next day. But he said to himself, I'm sure they'll understand. There's such a tremendous mitzvah here to give money to this widow that she can feed her children dinner tonight. And this mitzvah is going to just go away. If I don't feed them, the children are going to stay hungry. There's nothing that can be do. It's nothing that can be done about it. It's what's called a davar aved. You're just going to miss the opportunity. So it should be, maybe, says the boss, that I'll give the money to the widow, and tomorrow I'll go to the bank and I'll get the money out to get more money out of the account and I'll pay the workers. But he wanted to ask a question of the Ben Ish Chai before he did that. He wanted to ask him what is the right thing to do in this situation. The answer that he got from the Ben Ish Chai was, your obligation right now is to pay your workers. If you don't have any extra money now to give to the widow, then you have no mitzvah to support her at all and to give her charity. It's a very, very sad case. The help for the widow is going to have to come from someone else. That's not for you. You have an obligation. You have an obligation from the Torah to pay your workers on time. And that's what you have to do with the money that you have in your pocket. And you're not allowed to start going around and doing mitzvahs with that money, however great those mitzvahs may be. You have an obligation to pay your workers. If you have a worker that's working with food, a worker that's working in a restaurant, he must be allowed to eat. You can't keep him hungry. You must allow him to eat for free from whatever he needs from the food in the restaurant. But we find even more of an obligation. Those are little things. I want to explain to you a much, much more serious obligation that we find in the Torah. The Gemara in Masechet Baba Metzia, Daf Pei Gimel, brings the halacha of ha-ma'avir chavit mimakom lemakom. Removal men that are removing barrels from one place to the other. If you'd hired workers to transfer barrels of wine from one place to another, but while they were carrying them, they tripped up and they broke them. So it should, as we'll explain in a minute, that the obligation of these workers is to pay for the damage that they did. But our rabbis, our sages said no. As long as they weren't completely negligent and they broke these barrels accidentally because they tripped up, not only should you not make them pay for the damage that they did, but you should also pay them their salary for that work. Even though they didn't do the job, they broke the barrels. Nevertheless, not only should you not make them pay for the damage that they did, says the Gemara, but you should also pay them their salary. Now let's explain this halakha to understand what a tremendous, tremendous lesson we're being taught by this halakha. The Gemara tells us that any professional who's working, his level of responsibility is that of a Shomer Sachar. A Shomer Sachar is a paid guardian. That's someone who's being paid to look after your property. Right? If he's a computer technician or a silversmith, and you've given over to him either your computer or you've given over to him your Hanukkah candles, your Hanukkiah for him to fix, even though you're not actually paying him to guard at all, you're paying him to fix. Nevertheless, since he's earning his parnasa from fixing your computer or fixing your silverware, so says the Gemara that he accepts upon himself the responsibility of a paid guardian. An unpaid guardian, that's someone who's looking after your property for free, is responsible for negligence. But a paid guardian has even more responsibility. He is responsible also for theft. Theft means that you did everything to prevent the theft. You locked the door and you put everything away, but nevertheless thieves broke in and stole it. That, yep, this guy is responsible for that. If you're Shomer Sachar, you're responsible even in such a situation. Only in the case of what we would call an onus, extraordinary circumstances, a fire were to break out unexpectedly in your business premises. In such a case, only would you be exempt from paying for the damage. In addition to this, to the extra responsibility, which even covers theft, any paid guardian is expected to be extra careful in everything that he's doing. In all the work that he's doing to look after the property, he's expected to be extra careful. How do we know this? The Gemara tells us a story of a shepherd who was leading a flock of sheep. He was taking them out to graze them, and they had to cross over a bridge. This bridge was going over a large valley where there was a tremendous drop, and anyone that fell down there was going to die. When the shepherd was leading the flock across, he let them cross over by themselves. He didn't take them by hand and pass them over one by one. Because he didn't do that, some of the sheep pushed each other and they fell down into the valley and died. The question was raised, is the shepherd responsible? Is it negligence on his part that he didn't stand there and guide them across one by one? The conclusion of the Gemara is that it wasn't negligence. If a shepherd was not being paid for his work, so he would then be a Shomer Chinam, someone who's looking after the property of another for free. As such, he's only responsible for negligence. It says the Gemara, this is negligence. It wasn't negligent on his behalf not to stand there and lead the sheep across one by one. But if he was a Shomer Sachar, if he was being paid for his job, in which case he's now like a paid guardian, his responsibility goes up a level, and he's now responsible like a paid guardian. If that's the level of responsibility that he has, then he was expected to pass them across the bridge one by one to make sure that none of them were going to push each other into the water, down the valley. The fact that he didn't do that, he's now going to be responsible. So we see from here an important principle, that in any case of a paid guardian, of a Shomer Sachar, he's not just responsible in addition to negligence also for theft and loss. He's also expected all the time to take extra special care. So these removal guys were certainly Shomrei Sachar. They were certainly being paid for their work, and they would be expected to be taking extra special care. To trip up while you're walking, what is that? Is that negligence? So it seems to be that Gemara tells us that to trip up while you're walking on flat ground is not negligence, but it's also not considered as an extraordinary event. It's considered as something which you are expected to take extra care that shouldn't happen. So if our removal guy was a Shomer Chinam, he wasn't being paid for his work, and he was to trip up while carrying the barrels, he wouldn't be obligated to pay for them. But seeing as he's being paid, he's expected to be taking extra care. That obligation of extra care is going to obligate him to pay, even in a case where he tripped up. Let me just add on that there's a big argument between the Shach and the Sma about what is the responsibility of a worker. When we say that all professionals are considered as paid guardians, says the according to some opinions, that's only in a worker that's working on his own premises. He's taking things home with him and working on his premises. There he has real benefit from the property, and there the owner, excuse me, the owner is not there to help him look after it. So he is expected to look after it all by himself. But sometimes when you're working on the premises of your boss, seeing as your boss is there, he can do the looking after, and he doesn't need you to become obligated to look after it. But nevertheless, everyone agrees that even in the case of a worker who's not having the benefit of working on his premises, nevertheless, there are times when a worker is going to be alone with the property of his boss, and there's no way that the boss can look after it, and he would therefore in such a situation accept on himself the responsibility of a paid guardian. In the case of a truck driver, he's alone with his boss's truck, and he's certainly going to have expected to be responsible like a paid guardian. The same would apply to a removal man. Seeing as this removal man is alone, he's carrying for himself. He can drop it, he can trip up. It's his responsibility. So his responsibility is certainly going to be that of a Shomer Sachar. So we've established that the halacha would, the dry halacha, the strict halacha would be that in such a case, the worker should be responsible for the damage that he did because he didn't take the extra care that is expected of a paid guardian. Nevertheless, as I said, not only says the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch brings this as the halacha, halacha maaseh, that if a worker, who is of course a Shomer Sachar, were to have caused damage, it brings actually the case of the removal men specifically, and I want to emphasize that, I'll explain to you why in a minute. In the case of these removal men who were working, and while walking they tripped up, which is something that is not negligence, but as a paid guardian they would be responsible to make sure that they didn't do, and they smashed the barrels, that they don't have to pay, even though the strict halacha is, as I've just explained, that they would have to pay. In such a case, we're not going to make them pay, because it's not just, it's not right to make poor workers pay for the damage that they did if they do that damage intentionally. These barrels are worth a lot of money, and these workers are earning very, very small amounts of money as related to the value of the things that they're carrying. Therefore, lifnim mishurat hadin, you should go within the boundaries of the law. This is fair. This is right. This is the way that a Jew is supposed to behave with his workers. Go lifnim mishurat hadin. Understand them. And don't make them pay for the damage they did. And not just don't make them pay for the damage they did. Pay them their salary as well. The big question that I mentioned just before is, does this apply to all workers? Or is it just a special thing for removal men? Because removal men are in a special situation that they are earning very, very small amounts of money, and they're transferring things which can be worth a tremendous amount of money, right? You get two workers to transfer a grand piano from one room to another. They're being paid a very, very small amount in relation to the value of the grand piano. So maybe it only applies to them. And it would seem the Shulchan Aruch writes other halachot about the responsibility of workers. For example, the Shulchan Aruch writes about the responsibility of a shochet. A shochet, a slaughterer, he's being paid for his job. He's a shomer sachar. He made a mistake while shechting. A shochet that makes a mistake can cause tremendous damage to the owner. He can lose the whole cow, right? You have to sell it as non-kosher food, which is worth much less than kosher food. If he made a mistake while shechting that wasn't negligent, but he made a mistake, nevertheless, since he's being paid, the Shulchan Aruch tells us that he has to pay for the mistake that he made. He has to pay for the damage that was caused. So maybe with other types of professionals, they do accept responsibility for any damages that they do. But with a removal man, seeing as it's not really much of a profession, maybe it's something that people that really don't have much else to do go into the business of being removal men. I'm not talking about running a company, a removal company, that's a good business. I'm talking about being the actual guy that's going to have to carry the stuff around. So, and it could be that that's not really so true nowadays anyway, but nevertheless, generally it's not a professional person that's doing that type of work, and it could be, says the Pitchei Choshen, which is one of the great Rav Bloy's book. Rav Bloy was one of the great Dayanim from the Bedatz in Jerusalem. So he writes that it could be that in the case of other professionals there is an obligation, only especially in the case of something that's similar to a removal man, where they are unprofessional people. Maybe there, only there, this heter would apply. But what he concludes is that each case should be judged lefi ro'ot einei ha-dayan. That's judged on its own merits. Right? The dayan judging each particular case will see the situation and see whether it's fitting that this heter, that this lifnim meshurat din halacha would apply. But the main thing that we need to emphasize and to see is that it exists, this halacha. That here you see that in the case of poor workers, the halacha tells us that as the boss, we have to be compassionate towards them. We have to have mercy on them. And even if they've actually caused us damage, sometimes it's not right to make them pay for it. And we must behave lifnim meshurat din, do a kiddush Hashem, and not make them pay for the damage that they did. Some have the opinion that even if the worker was negligent, as long as he did do it on purpose, if he's a poor person, then it would be a midat chasidut. It would be a good action. It would be an act of kindness to not make him pay and to pay him his salary. The Rabbi Bloy writes that there's this pasuk of Leman Telech Bederech Tovim. Okay. And there's an inyan. There's a reason. There's a good idea to forgive the worker, even if he's not an oni, even if he's not a poor person. Don't make him pay for the damage that he did, but you wouldn't necessarily have to pay his salary. But if he's a poor person, then you should pay him his salary. Again, let me just recap what he writes there. It's in the name of the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, that in any case where the worker was negligent, and because of that he caused a loss, even if, as long as he didn't do it on purpose, and he's a poor person, then you shouldn't make him pay for the damage that he did. Right, that's an extra halacha that the Shulchan Aruch HaRav says that is connected to this subject. And if he's a poor person, then you shouldn't even make him pay. You should in addition pay his salary. The Aruch HaShulchan says that the dayan must tell him that he should have to pay, but because of midas chasidut, we're not going to force him to pay. Thank you very much. You see from today's shiur, in total contrast to the way that Lavan treated Yaakov, you see that a Jew has a tremendous obligation towards his workers, to have mercy on them, to go with them lifnim meshurat din, to go with them within the boundaries of the law, and to treat them righteously, and to treat them mercifully. That's the way that Hashem wants a Jew to behave towards his workers. Thank you.